For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of God for us today. I just want to pray for us before we start. Heavenly Father, I come before you, Father, just to share your word. During this time, may I only speak truth about you. May you get rid of all fleshly desires. Anything that will keep me from saying truth about you, would you just take it away? Father, may your truth shine like light. May your truth be like the rising and the setting of the sun. Here today, reveal to us your glory. I am at your disposal, Lord. Give the people here ears to hear your word. Open the hearts to see who you truly are. Father, speak to us during this time. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
I don't really have a set outline or things I'm going to say, but how many of you guys, I just want to ask you, how many of you guys feel fulfilled right now in your life? Nobody. That's a problem. So how many of you guys feel fulfilled, whether it may be your family, relationship with your friends, coworkers, or your career, your school, whatever it may be, who feels fulfilled to the point that I can die right now and I will be at peace? Anybody? Oh, we have a few folks, so praise God for that. Yeah. Many of us today are suffering. Many of us are suffering from physical pain, emotional pain, emptiness, loneliness, sense of being lost, not knowing the purpose of our lives. Am I the only one that feels that way? You guys can relate to that, right? So even if we're in school, even if we're at work, it just doesn't seem like this should be the end. Like, is this really the purpose of my life? Am I supposed to grow up in a household in America, be raised by other parents, and graduate from primary school, middle school, high school, go to college, get a job, work for 40-something years, and then is this it? Retirement? Is that it? Truly ask yourself, what is the purpose of your life? And also, what were we made for? Who can answer this question? This is a question for you guys. Who knows what we were made for? Sorry?
To glorify God.
Yes, thank you. We're made to glorify God, yes. We're also made to know God, to know who He is, to know His Son, Jesus Christ, and to experience who He is. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of us feel lost. A lot of us don't know what we are doing in our lives. Some of you may know, but I will tell you this. No matter what you do in your life, no matter what career status you reach, no matter what position you reach, what life you have, what relationships you have, nothing will fulfill your hearts. You know that. You know the reason why? It's because you're not made for that. You're not made to have the best job. You're not made to have the best relationship, the best husband, wife, whatever it may be, vacation homes, whatever the culture tells you today on Instagram. It tells you, you need to eat these type of foods to be accepted into the culture. You need to eat these type of foods. I'm talking about food, not in the sense of eating food, like your stomach, but what we eat every day. We see everything with our eyes. Our culture tells us we have to dress a certain way. We have to act a certain way. We have to be at these places to be accepted. That's not truth. Truth is that your fulfillment is found in Jesus Christ. Many years ago, I had a huge crush on this girl in my senior year of high school. And we were just sharing what we were interested in, and we were just sharing, hey, she asked, what's your favorite movie? And I said, Toy Story. Right away. Any Toy Story fans here? Oh, we got a few, yay. And then she looked at me weird, and I was like, why, what's wrong with that? And then I asked her, what's your favorite movie? And she said, it's The Notebook. So I guess she wanted me to be more of a romantic person, or she thought that I was very immature at that time. But I love Toy Story, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because each of us within our own hearts is engraved Jesus, because we're made for him, we're made to know him. And the reason why I love that movie so much is that you guys know the main character, Woody, and under his boot, there's a name, Andy, which is his owner, right? And the whole movie is around him being lost or misplaced, and he never feels safe or fulfilled until he gets to the arm of his owner. And I kind of looked at that and I was like, that's true. So in the same way, you will never ever be fulfilled, I promise you. If you win the lottery, you hit the jackpot, it will never fulfill who you truly are, because you're not made for that. Another thing I wanted to say is that we are all created in God's image, each and every one of us. When you look at yourself in the mirror, what you see, your two eyes, your nose, your lips, it says that God has eyes, nose, and lips. We're created in his image, and that's amazing. But you guys also need to understand the weight of this, because we are created in his image, we are also immortal. So what do you mean, David? What do you mean I'm immortal? See, when we die, many of us think that that's it. You know, we see so many people committing suicide. It just breaks my heart just seeing people commit suicide, because they think that's the end. This is gonna be where my suffering ends. This is gonna be where my life ends. Nothing is good enough right now, so I'm gonna end it right now. But that's not true. The truth is that you will live forever, whether you go to heaven or hell. And this is hard for me to say, but this is truth, because we are created in his image. We will live forever with him or apart from him. Our eternity is at stake. And it's almost as if I see people on a train track. There's two trains coming. One way, it's coming fast. The other way, it's coming fast. You're standing in the middle. I can't say to slowly get off the track when the trains are coming, because it's coming fast. And what I mean by that is, whether you die tomorrow, that's your life is not guaranteed. This might be your last night. Next week might be your last night. But your life is not guaranteed. Who can guarantee that you will live till you're 70? Nobody can. We have all these retirement plans. I'm enrolled in a company and they have all this 401k, and I'm just like, why? Why are we building so much to the future? There's no guarantee that we're gonna live that long. The other train is coming, and that's Jesus Christ. Whether he comes before or whether you go to him before, the reality is that these trains are coming fast. It's real fast. And I can't stand there and just ignore that. I have to say, get off the track. Believe in Jesus. Come to Jesus so that you can be saved through him. Who we need. What we need most is Jesus Christ. A lot of us don't understand this, and me in my personal life, my upbringing, I've had a really great childhood, just being underprivileged, under great parents, under so much love. As I grew older, I always grew up in the church. My father's a pastor, but I never really understood the love of Jesus Christ. I've always heard about it in Bible school. I have some folks here that have seen me since I was younger, so they know. I will never bring a Bible to church, but I'll bring a basketball. My mom would scold me. And I never really understood why. Like, what? Why is it? Like, Jesus died for me, but so what? It never really touched my heart. But then when I went to college, many things changed. You know, I was no longer under the parents' care. And my father, at that time, he went to Korea to open a new church, and he had to come back due to health issues. And our family was struggling because He was diagnosed with meningitis, which is life-threatening. So inflammation in the spinal cord that could potentially lead to fatality. And, you know, shortly after that, he had heart surgery. So just going through a lot of that, and my mom's health wasn't great either, and I was going to school out of state, and everything just seemed like it wasn't going to plan. I was isolated. I don't know why, I just started to lose friends. A lot of the people that I met, I think God was isolating me for some reason. He just brought me out. But in the Bible, I read something really interesting in Exodus. He said to the Israelites, "I'm bringing you out so that I can bring you in." That was really encouraging because it almost felt like he brought me out so that he can bring me to his presence. And school was tough. I was not doing well, and everything just seemed like I was at the edge of a cliff, you know? Like, you know, nothing's going right. I can't do anything. And at that moment, I think this is where our responsibility is. A lot of us, we give up there. We're like, there's no God. Like, if God was existing, I would never be in this situation. But by his grace, I was saved through a YouTube video. I was just eating at my desk, and a song came up, "Lord, I Need You," right, by Chris Tomlin. And I don't know why, but when I just heard that, I just started just tearing up, and just his presence was more real to me than my physical hands and my body at that time. I felt that he was embracing me and within his arms and saying, "I love you, son, I died for you." And at that moment, everything changed. Like, I became a different person. I was crying for at least an hour and a half. It's just unreal to me. I was saved through a YouTube video, and tears were coming out, snot was coming out. It was not pretty, but there I experienced the love of God like never before. And he made me realize what my sins were. Everything that I thought was not sin, he made me realize what they were, and I started repenting. I'm like, "Sorry, Jesus. I'm so sorry for what I've done." And from then, I woke up the next morning and just everything changed. Everything, like my thoughts, everything. I just look up, "Jesus, are you there?" I walk to the bathroom, "Jesus, I'm brushing my teeth." On the bus, "Jesus, I'm going to class." During the test, "Jesus, what's number 4? I don't know. Is it A, B, or C? I don't know, Jesus. You're the Holy Trinity, number 3, so I guess it's C." Everything started to change about my life. And it was to the point that I was getting obsessed with Jesus. But I think that's what our life should be. That's what we're made for. To know him, to experience him. And everything changed from there. And also, it says in the Bible that once we are saved, at that moment, we are no longer a new creature. So God takes out a heart of stone and replaces it in a heart of flesh. And what I mean by that was, before I was saved, I didn't have a relationship with God. The things that I was doing was not sin to me. But after I got converted, I had a new relationship with not only Jesus, but with sin. Have you ever thought about that? Like, are you saved? And then someone asks, "Okay, yeah, I have a new relationship with Jesus, but do you have a new relationship with your sin?" That's what happened to me. I started to become sensitive. And God took away a lot of the sins that I was struggling with. But also, this is very important. Being Christian doesn't always mean that you're free of sin. If not, you're attacked even more. Because Satan doesn't stand still. He knows who's saved. And he goes like, "I have to bring that one down." But God will never ever leave you. He will never ever forsake you. If you are saved and if you put your trust in him, he will save you. The moment that I was saved, as I said, is like your heart is completely new. The heart that had no relationship, no affection towards God became a new flesh heart.
So it became a heart of stone, from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. It's as if Jesus called Lazarus from the grave, Lazarus, come out. It's very similar to that power in the sense that God made light out of nothing. When in the beginning he said, let there be light. Ex nihilo, let there be light. I believe that it is the same power when you are converted. God is literally putting in your heart a new heart. Let there be light. Let there be light and truth about me so that you can see me. Ever since I was converted, I've been walking with the Lord, and it's hard. It's so hard. It's so hard. I feel like my life's harder after I met Jesus. And some of you might say, oh, then why do I need to sign up for that? No, it's hard because He has blueprints in our lives. He has plans and rules that we must follow, but we don't want to follow them because we love our sin so much. And that's why it's so hard. If sin was not pleasing, it would be so easy to follow Jesus. But that's why it's so hard. And just as I was, I don't live here. I live in California, so I come from a far place. And as I was driving, God just reminded me of who He is. And He said that I'm your potter and you are my clay. And I was like thinking, oh, you're right, Lord. Like, piece of clay, and He's molding me and shaping me into the man He wants me to be. But the clay itself, it's huge. But as a potter is sculpting, He's taking away and removing the pieces that are no longer relevant. And that's painful. One pastor said, it's almost as if the moment you were converted, you're on a surgical table and Jesus is performing surgery and taking out all the parts in your body that you no longer need. He's like, I see these cancerous things inside your body. I'm not gonna leave it there. It's painful, but I have to take it out. We only need to be still. We only need to be still. So I ask you tonight, can we get the praise team up here?